What a blessing to be here. Appreciate the singing's been good. Appreciate all the things that have been done for me. I'll say that one more time. I mean, whatever you've done, if you've carried my tray, if you've brought us treats, you've brought water, it's here again. You did it again today, all right? So that's good. I appreciate that. Or if you've asked me to sign your book or your Bible, anything like that, I appreciate you doing that. Alexis Andujar and Megan Moore, stand up. Hey, I just want to say thanks for letting me pick on you, all right? And not getting upset, not getting mad. Appreciate it. However, I understand Katie Murdoch and Kate McCleary. Y'all stand up, okay? Katie Murdoch and Kate McCleary. She's already left? Okay. You have to take it all yourself then, all right? It's my understanding, it's reported to me from good sources, that you and your co-conspirator had the gall, the audacity, the despicableness to pitch a counselor in the pool. Is this true? So what do you have to say for yourself? It's bad when somebody else has to give you the line, you know. I mean, you missed your chance. Who was the counselor? Right there? Okay. It sounds like what I need to say right now. It's good job, right? You know? Okay, thank you. That's good. Glad to hear that. Glad there's still some enthusiasm. Listen, y'all need to do something. You need to have a little more enthusiasm. It's been a little bit slow this week, you know. Just kind of dragging in and all of that. So, no, I was just kidding. Take your Bible this morning to Hebrews chapter 12 and Galatians chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 12 and Galatians chapter 5. I want to preach to you. Man, it's just been a blessing to preach to you. I've enjoyed myself, and as I said last night, I appreciate you listening and appreciate you paying attention with what's going on. And I'm going to try to preach quickly this morning and do my best to do that. I know everybody's, maybe you've already got your mind on going home, you know, and getting back to the excitement of cleaning your room and those kind of wonderful things. So we don't want to keep you from that, all right? Hebrews 12, look at verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, Galatians chapter 5, verse 7. All right? Galatians chapter 5, verse 7. The Bible says, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? With those two verses in mind, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to the last service at camp, and we still need you, Lord. We still need you to speak to hearts. We need you to deal with us, and Lord, move in our midst today and help us this morning, I pray in your name. Amen. I don't know if you've heard the old joke about the two hikers that were out in the Alaskan wilds. They were hiking along, and man, they looked back and they saw a grizzly bear charging toward them. And man, they took off running, and all of a sudden one of them sat down, reached into his pack, he takes his boots off, and he puts his tennis shoes on. And the other guy's looking at him, and he says to him, hey, listen, those are not going to help you outrun that bear. And the now tennis shoe clad fellow looked up at him and said, I'm not worried about outrunning the bear. I just need to outrun you. He figured he'd have his running shoes on was an important thing, all right? And it's not about outrunning someone or something, but if you're here, you need to realize you are in the race, okay? You're in the Christian race today. And I want to speak to you just a little bit regarding that. many of you have made decisions. You've committed yourself to certain course in life. You've come to the altar. You've laid down some sins. You've promised the Lord maybe that you're going to go home and get rid of some things in your home. You've maybe brought and got rid of some things. They're not sins, but they're weights that'll hold you back. They'll hinder you and keep you from running the race and being the Christian that God wants you to be. You're set now. I hope after all the services, after all the preaching you've heard, I hope you're set to run that race and you're determined to run it. And that's a good thing. But my question is, how good a shape are you going to be in 6 days from now? Or 6 weeks? Or 6 months? Hey, listen, you get back home. You have to deal with all the temptations. You have to deal with everything that's there. You're not going to have a constant surrounding with people that are encouraging you and people that are watching you to try to keep you from doing what's right. So how's it going to be then? All right? You say, well, how can I stay with it? How can I do it? I'm in the race. Well, this message this morning is to help you. Here's the title of it, and here's what you need to do. You need to keep your running shoes on. You need to keep your running shoes on. Some of you are here this morning. I just want to ask, all right? I want to ask this. How many of you are in flip-flops? Stand up, really, all right? Stand up. Three guys in flip-flops. Good grief, all right? Hey, you know, I tried to instill in my daughter that those flip-flops are the mark of the beast, but I never did convince her, all right? Hey, you don't have your running shoes on. Now, I'm not giving you a hard time. I just want to illustrate it. All right, you can have a seat. Listen, you're not going to get the job done in flip-flops, okay? You're not going to flip-flop back and forth. A lot of people do that in their Christian life. It's a constant flipping and flopping, okay? They're on, they're off. They're in, they're out, okay? They're faithful, they're unfaithful. You're not going to get it done. You need to get your running shoes on, but you not only need to keep them on, get them on, but you need to keep them on, all right? You say, why? Three very simple points. Number one, there's some things you need to run to or run from. There's some things you need to run from. You're going to run into it when you get back home. You're going to run into it maybe when you get in school. You may run into it on the job. But there's going to be some things you're going to need to run from. In Genesis chapter 39, I'm not going to ask you to turn there. If you're not familiar with this story, somewhere there in your notes, jot down Genesis 39 and later go back and read the chapter. But here's the chapter where Joseph is there in the house of Potiphar. And boy, he is tempted. He's being seduced by Potiphar's wife. And it finally got so bad that Joseph did what he needed to do. He realized, I need to run because I need to get away from this. And he did. He took off running. Hey, there's some things you need to run from. There's some things that you don't stand and do battle with them. You don't say, well, I think I'm strong enough to take it. No, run from it. Get away from it. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, the Bible says, flee also youthful lust. Flee those things. Run from them. It's not what you decide, well, you know, maybe I'm strong enough now to take it on. No, get away from it. Get away from it. I'm not a snake lover, okay? Maybe you are. If I see a snake, my immediate thought is, kill it! All right, that's it. I mean, I've mowed grass for many years. When I was a teenager, started mowing the grass at the church. Years ago, I remember I'm running along with the lawnmower. Now, I can't explain this, but when I would mow the grass, I would sing. Okay? Because I mistakenly thought, you know, the lawnmower making all kinds of noise. So I'm singing thinking, nobody will hear it. Right? So I would mow the grass, you know, I'd be singing. The only problem was what I didn't realize between our house and my neighbor's house, she would stand at her window. She'd be washing dishes there at the sink or something. And she told my dad, she said, you need to have your son sing in church. He's a good singer. I hear him when he's mowing the grass. I go, man. all right? But I'd mow the grass. I was mowing the grass one time, and all of a sudden, man, there's a snake. Scared the fire out of me, all right? Ah, you know, I just took no more, you know, and he became chopped snake, all right? I'm going to run from him, all right? You're not going to find me going, hey, man, look at that rattlesnake. Let me see if I can catch him, you know. Man, not me, not me. Who was it last night? Pastor Montgomery, I think it was one with a snake bite, right? Cobra bite. I've watched those guys, you know, I've seen the videos and everything of those guys that would kiss a cobra. No, I don't even want to blow him a kiss, all right? I'm going to run from that thing. You need to realize, young people, you need to keep your running shoes on. There's some things you need to run from. You need to stay away from it. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about pornography. Run from it. Run from it. If you get in a situation maybe where you think you're tempted to look, don't stay. Take off. If you're sitting in front of that computer and the thought quits coming to you, get away from it. Just get up and leave. Run from it. Run from it. That kind of stuff does not need to be played with. It needs to be run from. Any kind of drugs, somebody comes along offering drugs to you, greatest thing you can do, take off. Take off. Hit the trail. Don't hang around. Somebody comes out and swings and wants to offer you that marijuana cigarette, that joint. You say, no, I'm out of here. Take off. Get away from it. Don't hang in the crowd that's involved in it. Run. Run from it. If it's any kind of tobacco, if it's any kind of booze, if it's just being in the wrong place, run from it. Get away. Get away. If you find yourself in the wrong spot, take off. Take off. You say, people think I'm a coward. I'll tell you something. You'd be better thought a coward than being conquered by sin. Being conquered by sin. There are some things you just absolutely need to run from. Too many Christians hang around. They stay around. They look at it. And they're deeply wounded. And some of them are destroyed. Just because they hung around. Just because they hung around. Hey, run from temptation. Run from evil suggestions. Run from evil companions. Run. Keep your running shoes on. Run from it. Hey, there's some things you need to run from. Number two, there are some things and there that you need to run towards. Take your Bible. Look with me in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. There's some things you definitely ought to run toward. You got to keep those running shoes on so you can do it. Matthew chapter 5. Look at verse 6. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. The Bible says, all right, in Matthew chapter 5, excuse me, Mark chapter 5. I was looking at Matthew chapter 5 and I was thinking, that has absolutely nothing to do with what I'm preaching, all right? Mark chapter 5. It's bad when you can't even read your own notes, all right? Mark chapter 5, verse 6. You're there, okay? But when he saw Jesus afar off, he what? He ran. He ran and worshiped him. Hey, he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, and when he saw him, he ran toward him. Listen, my friend, how good it'd be if you and I had always learned to run to Jesus. Just learn to run to Him. I mean, it seems so much that most of the time, He's the last one people run to. We run to everything and everybody else before we run to Jesus. But oh, how you need to learn to run to Him. You say, well, I don't know. When should I run to Him? Run to Him when you're in trouble. Run to Him when you're in trouble. You get in trouble. Listen, when I was in trouble, I ran. I ran. Somebody could help me. I didn't make any bones about it. When I was a little kid, I've told you I was born in Georgia. I was probably 5 or 6 years old at the most, and we lived in the middle of the block, and the church building was right next to us. All right, our house was here, the church was here, and there were about 3 houses past the church. The house on the corner, there was a family there of boys, mom and dad, and a whole bunch of boys. All right, and that whole family of boys. the older ones, the younger one and I were good friends, about the same age, and we had played together, had a great time, unless their older brothers got involved. And one day, we were playing, myself, my brother, and his best friend, Donnie Collins. We were playing. Now, where we were playing was our church sit here, and we were building a Sunday school addition on behind it. We were playing in the shell of that new building, and we were having a good time. But here came those older boys. They came down there, and they were older than all of us, all right? And they liked to cause trouble. They wanted to fight. They wanted to get in all kinds of problems like that. I was just a little guy. Hey, when we had problems, we knew who to recruit for help. We knew who to run to. We went and got Donnie Collins' sister, Brenda. I want to tell you something. Brenda could whip every one of them guys, all right? I'm not kidding you. She was mean as a snake, all right? She not only could whip them, she enjoyed doing it, all right? And so we got old Brenda. Brenda came along, and one of them guys got after me, and I ran and got behind Brenda. You say, coward, you call me whatever you want to. I'm thinking it's smart, all right? I knew who to run to. And so I ran to old Brenda. I got behind her, and there was a guy. He had picked up a handful of gravel, and he threw it, and it hit Brenda in the leg. She slapped the fire and bam, all right? And then one of them guys took off running, and she picked up a chunk of wood and threw it at him. Just before he rounded the corner, it nailed him right between the shoulder blades. Hey, Brenda was mean, all right? But I'm glad in that time I could run to Brenda. But I tell you what, Brenda's not around anymore, but Jesus is always there. Boy, when I'm in trouble, when you get in trouble, you run to Jesus. You run to Him, boy. He'll help you out. Run to Him when you're in need. When you're in need, learn to go to Him. If you need salvation, that's the only one to run to. If you need strength, run to Him. You need help, run to Him. You need wisdom, run to Him. Run to Him. I mean, He'll help you out, all right? Run to Him when you're lonely. When you're lonely. Hey, I grew up as a preacher's kid. I grew up with a very strict mom and dad. There were a lot of people they wouldn't let me run with. Most of my life, my dad was in smaller churches. And most of my life as a kid, I grew up really, I had friends, but no real good friends. I sat in church most of the time as a little kid by myself. There wasn't anybody, around. And I didn't go around saying, nobody loves me, all right? But, I mean, I was just, I lived a lot alone. I was by myself a lot. But I tell you what, I found out I could go to Jesus Christ when I was lonely. Because He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You can go to Him. You say, well, how am I going to do it? Well, you'll find Him in the Bible. You'll find Him in the Bible. You say, man, I'm feeling lonely. I'm feeling left out. I'm feeling unloved. Run to Jesus. Open your Bible. Begin to read. You can find Him there. You can find Him there. You know where you'll find Him? You'll find Him on your knees. Learn to pray. Learn to pray. Hey, build your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Build that relationship. I mean, work on it. The Apostle Paul said it this way. He said that I may know Him. He wanted to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You know how you get to know people? You spend time with them. The best way to spend time with the Lord Jesus Christ is in your Bible and on your knees. Oh, man, I wish you'd learned to do that. Learn to run to Him. There's another place you need to run to. Take your Bible over to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 1. 1 Kings, chapter 1. There's somebody else. Boy, when you keep your running shoes on, you need to run from some things, but you need to run to some things. 1 Kings, chapter 1. 1 Kings chapter 1. I want you to look down in verse 50, all right? 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 50. Here it is. And Adonijah feared because of Solomon, and arose and went and caught hold on the horns of the what? Altar, all right? Of the altar. All right, go to chapter 2, verse 28. Chapter 2, verse 28. Then tidings came to Joab, for Joab had turned after Adonijah, though he turned not after Absalom. And Joab fled unto the tabernacle of the Lord and caught hold on the horns of the altar. Hey, both of these fellows fled to the house of God. They ran to the house of God. Now, the problem is this. They ran for different reasons. Adonijah ran to the house of God to repent. Joab ran to the house of God in defiance. And boy, when you check out what happened to them, it was a big difference in what happened to the two. Joab paid with his life. But Adonijah found mercy. Mercy. Hey, listen. You need to learn to run to the house of God. Run to the house of God. You keep your running shoes on, not only to run to the Lord Jesus, but you run to the house of God. Why? Because you need fellowship. You need fellowship. Hey, how much fun have you had here? And really, how would you describe it? How would you describe it if you're talking to somebody at your church, maybe, that didn't get to come? You talk to another teenager and they say, well, you know, how was it? How much fun do you say? How do you describe it? Well, you can't. I mean, you can't. Somebody comes to you and say, well, what was camp like? What'd you do? Hey, man, I was a blood clot. There, something's going to be lost in translation, all right? You see what I'm saying? You know, the truth of the matter is you can't tell somebody how much fun you've had. You cannot describe it. The only thing you can say is you'd have had to be there. Can I say this to you? That's why you need to be there when it comes to the house of God. There's something going on there every time the doors are open. And every time you can. I've told my people, man, you ought to be here every time the doors open. You ought to be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You ought to be there Tuesday night. We have soul winning. The truth of the matter is, if you're driving by during the week and you see a bunch of cars there, you ought to stop in to see if you're missing something. Get involved. Run to the house of God. Man, you need that fellowship. You need that fellowship. I've told people multitudes of times, some of the most fun I ever had in my life is at youth camp. Youth camp. I mean, the fellowship that's there. Being in an old stinky dormitory with a bunch of other guys, all right? I mean, there's just a camaraderie, all right? There's just something that's formed. There's a bond there that's formed between those guys. You develop something, that fellowship. Hey, you can have the same thing every week and every Sunday, at church, at the house of God. At the house of God. You know, some of you got here and you sang out good. You know what? Bond together there at your church. And when it's time to sing, stand up and let her rip.
Amen.
Some of the adults will go, what's wrong with them? But just let it go, all right?
Amen.
Fellowship. Fellowship. Hey, you run to the house of God to food. You need to be fed. You need to be fed. Man, when the dinner bell rang at my house, I didn't drag around about getting to the table. But folks, that's what you get at the house of God. You need that spiritual food. Run to it. Run to it. When you get there, keep those running shoes on. Have your Bible. Bring something to take notes. Drink it in. Absorb all you can, all right? Just get all you can. Don't go through the house of God like you do at a cafeteria and say, "Eh, I'll take some of that." No, I don't want any of that. No, I don't want any of that. Hey, get it all. Get it all. Take it in. Listen. Listen to what's going on. Don't just say, "Well, this is not special service for the youth, so I don't have to pay attention." No, you need it. You need to be fed. Keep those running shoes on. Run to the house of God. Enjoy it, the food. Enjoy the strength that you can get there. Hey, that's where you pump it up, all right? You guys came and worked out, in the early morning hours. Hey, I did too. I did push-ups. I pushed up off the bed. But you came and you worked out and you're building some strength. Hey, I tell you what, you build spiritual strength when you run to the house of God. That's what you're going to get. You're going to get it there. You're going to get your friends there. Have those friends. Run to them. Have them there. Those guys that will stand with you, all right? You say, well, I don't get along with everybody. Well, get over it and start getting along with them. Well, they're not like me. Wonderful. We don't need everybody to be like you. And that's whether you're good, bad, or indifferent, all right? We don't need everybody to be like you. But you run to the house of God. There's something there for you. Not only that, learn to run to obey. Especially learn to run to obey God. Run to obey Him. Don't drag around. Don't drag around. I'll never forget one time. This has been years ago. I was probably about 12, 13, no, 10 or 11 years old. And I was sitting, we were living in Fort Myers, Florida at the time. I was sitting on the floor there in the room that they call them down there Florida rooms. And it's kind of a porch that's glassed in, you know, windows. And we were sitting there and my dad said, do something. I don't remember what he told me. I have no idea what he told me to do. But I do remember what happened when I drug around. I didn't get up immediately. I don't know why. I wasn't sitting there thinking, I don't want to do that, Jack. Right, but all of a sudden, pow! Okay, I'll do it. You know, man, I'm up. Hey, don't wait till God has to slap you upside the head to obey. Run to obey. Run to obey. Run to do what He says. Learn that kind of obedience immediately. Hey, keep your running shoes on. There's some things you're going to need to run from. There's some things you're going to need to run to. And folks, I'll tell you, you keep your running shoes on because there's going to be some you need to run with. There's going to be some you need to run with. You need to, first of all, run with the righteous. Run with the righteous. Exodus 23:2 says, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, but it's okay to get in a crowd and do right. All right? It's okay to do that. Learn to run with the righteous. Amen. Learn to run with the righteous. Okay? Just learn to run with them. Hey, folks, you know who's living right in your youth group. You know who's living right at your place. You know who's living right at your church. You know who's living right at your school. Run with them. Well, they ain't the cool ones. Well, don't be cool then, all right? Just be lukewarm in that case. I mean, that's the only time lukewarm is okay. All right? Don't run with the cool ones. Run with the ones that are right. Just get with the crowd that says, this crowd's going to do right. That's the crowd I'm going to run with. I'll run with them. I'm not running with anybody else. I just want to run with the folks that are right. All right? Find out who it is. Get in with that crowd. Enjoy it. Run with them. Run with the righteous. Number two, run with the servants. Run with the servants. Matthew 20, verse 27 says, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Hey, learn to run with those who are serving rather than that bunch that always has to be served. Learn to run with the servants. Be one of those that says, you know what? I want to be used. I want to be a servant. Somebody comes along and says, hey, we need somebody to do this job. I'll do it. It's not the U.S. Army. Any of you men serve in the Army? All right. Did you volunteer in the Army when you were there? Did you volunteer for a lot? No. You knew better, right? You didn't volunteer for anything. Wait a minute. We're not talking about the U.S. Army. We're talking about God's Army. Run with the servants. It's okay to volunteer. Don't wait to be drafted. Don't wait to be drafted. Something needs to be done, do it. Do it. Just get up and do it. This young lady that swept the whole tabernacle. Okay, where are you? There you are, right? You swept the whole tabernacle. Somebody beat you with a broom and made you do it, right? Okay? Somebody said, if you don't do this, you're not riding home, you'll walk. Right? No, nobody did that, right? Okay. So that means you volunteered. Wonderful. Somebody said, what an idiot. No, what a servant.
Amen.
Hey, guys, could I say this for you? We're just going to give an advertisement. That's the kind of girl you want to marry.
Amen.
That's the kind of girl you want to marry.
Right.
That's the kind. All right. Is that your daughter? That's your daughter. Okay. That's the kind of guy you got to keep happy. All right. That's the kind of guy you got to keep happy right there. That's a good thing. Hey, you're right, Dad. See him first. But that's the kind of girl you want to marry. That's the kind of girl you want to marry. Now, I don't know her, okay? But you want to marry somebody that's a servant.
Amen.
You want to marry somebody that's a servant. Somebody that doesn't mind giving of themselves. Hey, you marry one of them old gals that's high maintenance, it's going to be tough for you, all right? It's going to be tough sledding for you. You find a servant. Girls, you marry a guy that's a servant. Find you a guy that doesn't mind serving God and doesn't mind serving you. There's nothing I wouldn't do for my wife. There's nothing I wouldn't do for her. Hey, I've been to Garden Ridge Pottery with her. I didn't enjoy it, but I was there, all right, you know. I was pushing the buggy, trying to hold my tongue, trying to keep from going, holy cow, how long are we going to be here, all right? How many times can we go up and down this aisle, all right? Hey, I'll do anything for her. I will not go to Garden Ridge Pottery for anybody else, okay, but I'd do it for her. Listen to me. You run with the servants. Find the crowd that's serving God and say, that's the crowd I want to be in. That's the crowd I'm going to spend my life with. That's the crowd to be involved with. Listen, you want to be able 6 months from now to still be running the Christian race, still be maintaining those commitments you've made, still maintain those vows you took, still not involved in that sin that you've confessed and gotten rid of, keep your running shoes on. Keep your running shoes on. Keep running with the righteous. Keep running with the servants. Run to the Lord Jesus Christ. Run to the house of God. Run to obey and run from some sin and wickedness and evil. But you keep your running shoes on and it'll make all the difference in the world. Now some of you, you're going to say, well, I'm getting a little bit tired. That's all right. Keep your running shoes on. Keep your running shoes on. You say, well, I just don't think I can run anymore. Okay, walk a while, but keep your running shoes on. Keep your running shoes on. Some of you, you're going to get a little bit weary and you're going to be tempted to sit down. Hey, even if for a moment you sit down, keep your running shoes on. Keep your running shoes on. Don't ever get to the point where you feel like, well, I'm safe, I can take them off. No, you're never going to be safe enough to do that. You keep those running shoes on. And you keep running your race. You keep running the race of the Christian life. You run from what needs to be run from. And young people, you know what you need to run from. You know that. And you keep running to Jesus. Don't you ever be ashamed of running to Him. You keep running to the house of God. You keep running to obey the Lord. Hey, run. Don't walk. To obey Him. You run with the righteous. You run with the servant. You run with it. Keep your running shoes on. Hey, I've got my running shoes on right now. You said, those look like dress shoes. They are. They're Rockport Dress Sports. They advertise the fact that a man wore Rockport Dress Sports and ran the Boston Marathon. Hey, these are my running shoes. I'm going to keep my running shoes on. Will you keep yours on? Would you bow your heads, close your eyes this morning? Hey, listen. I want to challenge every one of you, every one of you young people. First of all, if God's dealt with you about some sin and you haven't made it right, you haven't dealt with it, you haven't corrected it, maybe you've danced all around that thing that you need to make right. Maybe you've come forward, but you've really never dealt with the real problem that's in your life, okay? You've never dealt with it. It's there. It's deep. You say, well, I really don't want anybody to know about it. I don't want somebody else to know what's going on. Hey, young person, you need some help. You need some help. Anybody here say, Pastor Mosley, I've really not dealt with the real problem that's really burdening my heart and giving me the problems, but I want to, and I want you to pray for me. Anybody like that, you'd slip your hand up anywhere. Thank you. All right, you haven't dealt with that root problem. It needs to be dealt with. It needs to be dealt with. There's another hand. Anybody else? Say, I really haven't dealt with the main trouble, the main thing that's got me down. All right, if you raised your hand, there you are. If you raised your hand, listen, would you do something about it? There's a counselor here that needs to talk to you, and you need to talk to them. Would you do it? Would you get up right now and come to them? There you go. That's right. Deal with it. You find the counselor and you let them deal with that problem and help you. Anybody else? You raise your hand. Come on. You haven't dealt with it. You say, man, I don't want to do it. I don't want to make it known, but you need help. You need help with that root problem. Would you move? Would you get up and move? All right. Let me speak to the rest of you. You're here this morning. You need to keep your running shoes on. You need to make that commitment to yourself and to God. Lord, I'm going to keep my running shoes on. I'm going to keep my running shoes on. Would you do that today? Would you make that commitment? Would you maybe just say, hey, I'm going to get my friends to help me? Would you make that commitment today? Well, if you will, I want to invite you to come forward. You say, why can't I do it right where I am? You could, but it's so good to humble yourself and come to the altar. So good to do that. Would you do that this morning? After I pray, if you commit yourself, you say, preacher, I'm going to keep my running shoes on, and I'm going to do my best to maintain everything that I've got straightened out this week, then I want you to come. Heavenly Father, Lord, be with these young people. Lord, especially bless that one that's taking care of a root problem today. And would you speak to these others, help them to commit themselves to keep their running shoes on. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Listen, if you mean it, then would you come? All right? You say, I'll keep my running shoes on. You just come on. Make that commitment. I'm going to do it. I'll keep my running shoes on. I'm going to take the steps that I need to. I'm not going to let it get away from me. Come on, the best thing you do, you make that commitment right here at the altar. Right here at the altar, would you do it? Come on. Come on, we give you time. Now's the time to do it. Take that step. Step out. You said, I've been to the altar a bunch of times. Good. Doesn't hurt you to come. Use the altar in the house of God. There you go. Just come on. Just come on. I'm done this morning. It's up to you. You do what God speaks to you and how God leads you. You come on.